I'm in the zone to be. From a yin to my yang to see. Put a grin on my chin when you come to me. Cause I'll win, I'm a one of a kind, and I'll bring death to the place you're about to be. Another river of blood running under my feet. Forged in the fire lit long ago. Stand next to me, you'll never stand alone. I'm last to leave, but the first to go. Lord, make me dead before you make me whole. I'll feed on the fear of the devil inside of the enemy faces in my sight. Aim with a hand, shoot with a mind, kill with a heart like Arctic ice.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to By Yahweh's Design. I'm Pastor Dan, your host for this 90-minute radio broadcast. Today is the 15th day of November, year 2015, and we've entitled this morning's program, Current Events. Before we get into the meat of the matter, we dedicate this program to Yahweh, our Heavenly Father, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this program to his holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. And today these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, welcome to the program. Speaking of which, I've noticed that we've got some imposters claiming to be the Israelites of late. Of course, the Jews are the most famous imposters, the Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 imposters. But we've even got some black folks and other folks claiming to be of ancient Israel. Well, that may be coy and cute and may make some people feel good. However, sorry, it just doesn't float. And one reason it doesn't float is because ancient Hebrew is the predecessor of the Phoenician language and the Aramaic and the Greek, which became Latin, which became the modern day languages of virtually every white nation on the planet. Last time I checked, the languages of Africa aren't even remotely close. And in fact, biblical archaeologist E. Raymond Capt proved that ancient Hebrew can be found in the modern Welsh language. Now, the other two Gaelic languages are very, very close, and that would be Irish and Scottish. Because we were hill people. We were isolationists from way back when. We liked to stay amongst our own kind. Not to mention the fact that in the mountains and in the hills, it is highly defendable. That's why the English could never rout the Welshmen completely out of the country. That's why the Irish had a succession of 800 kingdoms, 800 successive kings. Yeah, that's right. Monarchies can work. You've been brainwashed by the Jew to think that monarchies are evil. Well, sorry, no, they're not. And of course, we all know the history of the Scots. And by the way, Scott land comes from Skota, Skotaland, the queen, the Israelite queen who left Ireland with a body of Irishmen and settled in the highlands of Scotland. You got to know your history, people. And when you learn the history, you will find that the fingerprints of who we are all over it. The truth screams out to you. Me personally, I have to thank people like Bertrand Comparé's and his many sermons that he gave while he was still alive. Excellent teacher. Wesley Swift, of course. Colonel William Gale, another excellent teacher. Were they 100% accurate in everything they taught? Hell no. Am I? Hell no. That's why it's up to you to pick that which is true. That's why in Scripture it says, even in the New Testament, accept all things and keep that which is good. That's a biblical way of saying keep an open mind. I've seen too many of our brethren get uppity with a brother or a sister because they present something new to them. Folks, we're family. Start acting like it, especially now with the current events that are going on, which we're going to talk about here shortly. If you can't see the handwriting on the wall now, you're not meant to survive. If you doubt this identity truth at this point, you need to change the channel and go listen to some other misfit talk. Please. You're not going to offend me. You need to leave our presence. You need to be separated from us. Because when the lightning bolts nail your ass, I don't want to be anywhere around you. And yes, occasionally I'm going to slip with a what some people perceive as a curse word. Why is that? Because the time of wearing the gloves is over. It's time, as my one ex-Baptist friend, who's now identity, used to say, when are we Christians, when are we believers of Yahweh Yeshua going to take the gloves off? You see, we've been fighting with the boxing gloves on. The enemy's been fighting us barefisted. That's where that saying comes from. It's time to take the gloves off. It's time to bloody our enemy. If you don't know there's an all-out assault to eliminate the white nations and the white race at this point, you need to go over and be with the rest of the tares and the rest of the goats, as Christ called them, because your fate is sealed. You're going to be trodden over, rendered, destroyed by those you claim to be protecting. All you soft-headed and soft-hearted believers out there that go along with the modern-day Judeo-Christian message, you're toast. You're done. You're over. You'll be the first ones they round up. You'll be the first homes they break into. Your daughters will be the first ones raped and murdered in front of your face, and then they'll murder you. Just like the Bolshevik Jewish communist pigs did to the Russians in the early 1900s. By the tens of millions. That's what these butchers did. And again, if you're so ignorant that you haven't figured this out, you need to move on. Get away from us. We may not be the majority, but then again, Gideon's army wasn't the majority either. Last time I checked, King David, when he stood against Goliath, he wasn't the majority either. Or when Joshua went against Jericho, when Abraham took on those misfits and kidnappers. We're almost never the majority. And of course, the famous battle of all that even the heathen understand is when King Leonidas and his 300 Spartans and his 7,000 hoplite soldiers stood off a vast Persian army at the pass of Thermopylae. Thermopylae is Greek for the hot gates. And I'm going to tell you, was it hot there? I'm sure it was hot, especially when you know you've only got 7,300 men standing against over 200,000 coming up the pass at you. Did it stop them? Did it cause them to waver or lose faith or lose hope for their people and their country? No, it strengthened their resolve, and the Persians paid a heavy, heavy price. So eventually, King Leonidas and his men were defeated, weren't they? But the war was won. Yahweh gives us many examples of this kind of thing happening. In the latter days, it's no different. When he says, my flock is but a little flock, he's telling you, you're not going to see the majority running around with correctly translated English versions and talking about the identity message. If you're looking for that, you look for that which will not be, not till Yeshua comes himself. But we are teaching the truth. There are people paying attention. And hallelujah for that. So over the past 48 hours, we've got a hell of a lot of stuff going on out there, and you're hearing tons and tons of reports about this and about that. And what did Christ say at the end of the age, the calamity? There would be a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. Do you know what that's talking about? Everybody, you know, we'll get into these debates about how far out it's. Keep your head planted here on earth, all right? Let me just tell you that for now. Don't give a damn about what anybody says about satellites, asteroids, planets, outer space, moonwalks. Just forget all of that because it's irrelevant. It's good fireside chat material, I'll grant you, but it's irrelevant at this point because you have an enemy attacking your shores right here, right now. It is an assault against every white nation on the planet. It is the flood spoken of in the Bible where the beast, the whore, the dragon, send a flood in unto the children of the woman, who is always referring to the sons and daughters of Jacob. That's you and me, the white race. You see, we were the most plentiful of people on this planet for quite some time. Now we are one of the least in number. And amongst our people, we have at least half of them that are outright traitors or completely brain dead. But again, they won't be around much longer, unfortunately. They will suffer at the hands of the very people they're trying to suck up to and trying to, quote, protect. You're so worried about protecting these non-whites that you're sacrificing your own sons and daughters. That's the height of stupidity. It goes against even reason and common sense and common instincts in the animal kingdom. But Yahweh said there would be a thinning out of the house of Israel, meaning the sons and daughters of Jacob, that he would weed out those not fit to go on. And amen, it's happening. It's not pretty to watch, but amen, it's happening. He said, I will purge my house first. So all of you non-whites that are relishing, and especially you communist Zionist Jews and all of the mayhem that you've created, you can relish in all of that for a short period of time as Yahweh deals with his people. But I'm here to tell you, he won't take very long to weed out our misfits. And once he's done chastising his children, there is a remnant coming after you. Hallelujah. We will finally get the green light to come after your wicked, sorry, demented, pathetic asses. So enjoy your time in the sun for now, you antichrist bastards, because your time is running out. And it's not me you need to worry about. I'm just a messenger. You can take me out almost any time you want, but you cannot prevent what's going to happen in the near future. It's already starting. The sons and daughters of the Most High are waking up. And as they wake up and realize what you antichrists have done and how we have been deceived by the media, by the government, by the churches, by the learning institutions, by the banking institutions, by the medical community. They're all corrupt, lying misfits. As you learn this, your anger, your righteous indignation burns, just as it should, just as it did Christ when he stood in the temple and watched those damnable Jews charging people for their doves and sacrifices to make money, turning the house of Yahweh into a den of thieves. Who are the greatest thieves on the planet? Well, there is no greater thief than a Jew. That's just the facts. And Christ knew it. Christ said it in the book of John. But you Judeo-Christians wouldn't know that because your pusillanimous preacher, the poison behind the pulpit that he teaches, wouldn't touch that subject with a 10-foot pole because it's all about the money for today's preachers. It's all about keeping that cushy job that they've got. Christ whipped those guys out of the temple, formed a whip and beat them. Can you imagine how much effort it took to beat a Jew away from a table full of money? That must have been an impressive sight. And he sure didn't come off as some pansy, "Oh, I would never be violent," or "No, I'll never be having a gun. I won't own a gun." No, because, you know, God hates violence. Well, really? Last time I checked, Yahweh hates murder, too. Yahweh hates rape. Yahweh hates unjust weights and measures. These are all things he hates as well. How come you deadbeat, good-for-nothing, lukewarm Christians haven't done a damn thing about that? How come you lukewarm, deadbeat, good-for-nothing Christians haven't done a damn thing about the slaughter of the unborn? You are exactly what the Christ said you would be. Something to be vomited out of his mouth, you lukewarm, pusillanimous pieces of dog meat, calling yourselves believers when you can't even get your sorry asses off the couch to rise up against anything. You're just like rocks. You take up space. That's about the only thing you're good for. You can take up space, but you can't think for yourself. You can't do anything because you just sit there. And you think you're saved because you prayed the sinner's prayer and you went down and some preacher laid hands on you and, oh my God, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. You're full of the Holy Spirit, are you? Well, holy means sanctified. Spirit, psuche from the Greek, would mean that you're a owner of the Spirit that is separated from all others that comes only from the Father. And yet you don't exhibit one iota of the intestinal fortitude that Christ showed when he beat the Jews out of the temple. You don't show any of that. You don't show any of the intestinal fortitude of a Peter when he took a sword out and tried to decapitate the Jew trying to arrest Christ and murder him, and the rest of the disciples who carried swords. You don't carry anything. You don't even carry your stones in a sack anymore. Somehow, some way, those babies were cut off a long time ago. So now you're just a very docile rock who sits there and listens and watches as the world burns under these devils around the world, placating yourself with the idea that somehow you're saved. Oh, that's right. You're one of those rapture people. So you can sit on your sorry butt and not do anything about what's going on because you're going to get on the rapture train. Hey, guys, let me know how that works out for you because there ain't no train coming. You don't have a ticket for it, even if there was one. You're going to go through what's about ready to go on in this world. You're going to have to participate whether you like it or not, because the enemy's coming in here like a steamroller. And guess what? Even the rocks are going to get crushed. So you sit there, you sorry examples for believers that you are. You just sit there and let it happen. me and my kind are getting ready. In fact, my closest friends that I call my posse and I were discussing defensive measures even last night. These are men that I know who would have my back in a battle. We were talking about the actions that we'll take. So you don't know what we're going to do, you antichrist listening in pieces of crap that you are. You go back and report to your Jewish masters. Because I know you listen in. I hope you do listen in. You need to hear what's going to happen to you. So you go back and report to that sniveling piece of dog meat Jew that runs your intelligence agencies, and you tell him what I said. It isn't going to do you any damn good, but you go right ahead. Because this is happening in multiple tens of thousands of locations. We're getting ready. We know who you are. We know what you're going to pull next. We don't watch that damnable Talmud vision with its lies and trumped up staged events. Even this crap going on in France right now and Belgium. No. I don't watch it. I don't really care. It's coming across a major feed from some Jew somewhere. Why the hell would I watch it? I could care less. If indeed some Frenchmen were hurt, my brothers and sisters in France, my heart goes out to you. But you need to take up arms, too. First of all, why the hell are you letting a Jew sit in there? Of course, we don't have much room to talk, do we? We got a Jewish black guy sitting up there. So we're not in any better shape than that, either. We're not so smart. We've let Jews come into our country and take it over completely, too. The good news is, though, we haven't allowed the Jew to disarm us. That sets us apart from my brothers and sisters in Europe and in Australia and New Zealand. We haven't allowed them to disarm us. So you guys need to arm yourselves. And I don't care if it's pitchforks, sharpened butcher knives, reenactment swords and spears and shields as it was done in the day. There's always a weapon. Or as one special forces guy showed me one time, you can pick up a pencil and take somebody out. All kinds of weapons laying around you. If you've got a brain to figure it out, you better figure out what kind of weapon you're going to use because you're going to need it. But right now, your greatest weapon is knowledge. Knowledge. Knowledge of who you are and what your destiny is and the destiny of your children. Who your King of Kings is and who the liars and the cheats and the thieves within our governments are. There's people in Washington, D.C. that purport to be the United States government. Well, they are. They do sit in Washington. They are the chief executive officers of a corporation known as the United States of America, but they are not my government. They're not the government of any other individuals that I know of around this nation. So they can tell the rest of the world that they rule over us. But we do not recognize anybody in the district of criminals as our leaders. They are traitors. They have violated their oaths of office and therefore stand as traitors. And if you're in the Pentagon violating your oath of office, then you are a traitor as well. Yahweh makes it very clear what the penalty for treason is. You've got time to decide which side of the fence you want to be on, folks. You better figure it out real fast. Time is running out. The fence-setting days are pretty much over. Pretty much over. In fact, let me read a fan mail that was sent to me. See if I can call it up here. This is from a lady in Canada. And this is what she had to say in response to one of the items that I had sent out talking about the Syrian passport. Here we go again with another passport just sort of shows up on the scene. Isn't that remarkable? You see, these people aren't even clever enough to change the storyline. They keep coming at us with the same MO. The same MO where all the perpetrators die. So, of course, there's nobody to talk to, investigate, get a different point of view. They either die by their own hand or by the so-called good guys that come marching in. But they all die. Isn't that remarkable? And how convenient. Just like the razing of the Murrah building in Oklahoma City within a week or so, and taking all of the rubble and putting it under armed guard to this day. How convenient that nobody can see the material there at the crime scene and investigate. The same thing can be said of the Twin Towers in New York. Isn't it amazing? It was taken down, shipped away, and a lot of it was melted down to put into a ship. And all the Americans, the dumbasses that they are, oh, look at that beautiful Navy ship made from the residue of the towers. How patriotic. Oh, I got a tear in my eye. Oh, my God, isn't that just beautiful? My government built a naval ship from the wreckage of the towers. You're so damn stupid, you don't even understand. They're laughing their asses off at you. We just destroyed evidence in a major crime scene, but because we turned it into a naval vessel, oh, we're good guys. They went down to the synagogue that night and had a great big toast at just how stupid the cattle really are. That's what they call us, you know, stupid cattle. It's unfortunate that it actually describes many of our people. They do act like stupid beasts. Here's what Linda had to say. Thanks be to Yahweh that through Jesus Christ, or Yahshua HaMashiach, and the power and authority of his name, we are equipped by his Holy Spirit to reach anywhere in the world to declare his will be done, and to bind the vile spirits driving the workers of darkness, to overthrow their evil conspiracies and call them down upon their own heads. I believe that if Christians or believers would respond this way upon hearing these evil reports, we would see Christ's victory over his enemies. Everywhere we find them, conspiring against the will of Yahweh, and take his authority over them through prayer and intercession and declaration and exercise of his authority in his name. Praise Yahweh. I think the reason why we don't see more victory is because we permit Christ's enemies to get away with murder. Because too many Christians do not know they have Christ's authority to, quote, destroy the works of the devil, and therefore do not use it. So many have been Judaized into deadly passivity and are deceived into believing that they must just sit by and watch Satan bring about his wicked will without them, quote, interfering with fulfillment of prophecy. They've been duped into believing that what Christ foretold as a warning to his people constitutes Christ's will, that the devil should be allowed to fulfill all his wicked lusts against Christ, against us, and against the entire creation. If we permit on earth what Yahweh has forbidden in heaven, then Satan has our permission to do his worst. It is not Yahweh who gives power to his enemies, but it is we who give it to them. Shame on us for being AWOL, which stands for absent without leave. That's a military term. Shame on us for being AWOL and aiding and abetting Christ's enemies. As for me, when I receive these evil reports, no matter where on earth they come from, I reach across the earth with the sword of the Spirit in the name of Jesus Christ, Yahshua HaMashiach, to fight against his enemies, to destroy the works of the devil by the forbidding and binding in Christ's name, and demanding Christ's will be done on his footstool. And if every child of Yahweh would do likewise, Christ's victory would be more manifest in the affairs of earth. Yahweh's will be done on earth as he wills in heaven, in Yahshua's name, amen. And again, a letter from a dear sister in Canada. The same sister, in responding to the notice that I had sent out about General George Patton, the great commander of the Third Army in World War II. It's kind of funny, I read a biography of George Patton when I was just a boy in school. I admired him so much. Of course, I was kind of into tanks, and if you're into tanks, you pretty much have to be a fan of George Patton because he revolutionized tank warfare for the American Army. But General George S. Patton was very vocal about things as a soldier. And at the end of World War II, he made the statement in many of his writings to friends, fellow soldiers, and to his wife, that the longer he stayed in Germany at the end of the war and he witnessed the behavior of the Bolshevik Jewish Red Army, and he walked amongst the Germans and the rubble, he made the statement, "We defeated the wrong enemy." He's not the only person that said that. But here's what our dear sister in Canada says. "You know, I can't recall things like this without my heart breaking and tears fogging up my vision. A taste of the groaning that cannot be uttered by a spirit doubled over in painful sorrow over what we have permitted on earth that was forbidden in heaven. Oh, that our King would rend the heavens and come down and make his name known to his enemies, and the nations quake at his presence." Biblical reference for this is Isaiah chapter 64. Again, it reminds me that we interviewed a Canadian who lives up in Ontario. I don't know if he's still alive or not, but Ian did an interview, several interviews with me, and he was a member of the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II, and he virtually told me the exact same thing. He was stationed in Germany at war's end, and he said, "The longer I stayed in Germany, the more I realized we defeated the wrong enemy. By defeating the Germans, we allowed communism to proceed. We exposed Europe to the hand of the communists, which is what the German army was fighting to stop." Now, you got all kinds of news today trying to tell you that the, quote, Nazis, which is not a term that they ever used for themselves, they were National Socialists. The Nazis were Zionist Jews that were hiding amongst them. The National Socialists believed in national protection, that the people of the nation should work for the betterment of their own kind. That's what the word nation means, as a matter of fact. It comes from ancient words that mean race, as in the word nativity, or the word natal. It's all about birth, Genesis, kind after kind. The German National Socialists knew what Stalin and the rest of his Jewish Bolshevik commissar nation was up to. They knew that the Bolsheviks planned to go after Germany because the Jews hated the Germans. Because you have to remember, the Jews attempted to overtake Germany at the same time they were working to overthrow Russia. They succeeded in Russia, but thanks to the National Socialist Party under Hitler and his brown shirts, the Jewish communists failed in the early 1900s in Germany. They determined at that time that they would destroy Germany for not allowing the blood-sucking, murdering butchers that the communists are, for not allowing them to take over. And so the Jewish press, yeah, our media is completely owned by these damn Jews. They got you believing that the Germans were on a quest for world conquest. That's a lie. An absolute, complete lie. As is now coming out, as people are interpreting Hitler's speeches from German into English, we're now finding out we were lied to about what Hitler was saying in those speeches. David James, on his program, Saxon's Creed, he points out the fact that many times you watch and see Hitler very emphatically speaking and pounding the table, the podium. And we're told that he's talking about murdering Jews and conquering the world. And what he was really talking about was nothing even close to that. You know, it's kind of interesting. I just read a story about the German SS. In fact, I have a whole history book on the German SS. Now, the German SS in the beginning were primarily policemen. It was the security force within the Reich. And then there was the Waffen SS. The Waffen is German for armed, which means the military branch of the SS. Now, the History Channel, which of course is Jewish, I hope you all know that, they want you to believe these were demonic and demented heathens. The Waffen SS was dedicated to destroying communism. That's why by the time the war ended, there were more non-Germans in the Waffen SS than there were Germans. Because volunteers would come in from the lands where they watched what these butchers did to their men, women, and children. How they butchered them, murdered them, starved them to death, and raped them. They ran to the Germans to join the Waffen SS, to fight to the death to destroy the red damn communists. And we enabled the Waffen SS and the rest of Germany to be destroyed. Yahweh forgive our ignorant asses to be deceived by our enemy into destroying the very army dedicated to stop the red menace. Irony of ironies. Did you know that more Frenchmen died with the Germans than died fighting the Germans? Do you know that? How many of you of French heritage know that? More Germans died in a German uniform than died in a French uniform. In fact, the division of the Waffen SS that was defending Berlin when it finally fell to the bloodthirsty, butchering communists were Frenchmen. It was a division of Frenchmen. 7,000 SS soldiers committed to fight to the death. And they nearly all died. Only 12 were alive when the bunker was finally surrendered. Out of 7,000, only 12 walked out. And do you know what the Jewish-controlled allies did to those Frenchmen? They shot them on the spot. They surrendered under a white flag. That's a violation of the Geneva Convention. But then again, when did the Jews ever give a damn about civility in anything? So Eisenhower and the other Jewish butchers within the Allied army had them executed on the spot for daring to stand against the communist Jew Red Army. And Americans salute this? I'm half German, and you disgust me as I am disgusted with myself and my family for believing the lie put out by the propagandists against my own people. I'm ashamed. And you should be too, if you have any conscience whatsoever, that we turned the communist horde loose on the world because of our actions in World War II. And then you turn around and you make memorials as if 6 million of these Schweinhund pig dogs died. If only God would have killed that many, the world would be a better place. But that isn't what happened. Even the Jews themselves have changed the number and the story many times. And yet these same lying, misfit, hypocritical dogs have an 87-year-old woman in Germany going to go to prison because she dared to say publicly that she doesn't believe the Holocaust story. 87-year-old woman scares these Zionist pigs that much. Men of Yahweh, Do you see what kind of enemy that there is? Do you see how disgusting it is that we've allowed the world to suffer under such people that they think it's justified that an 87-year-old woman go to prison because she doesn't believe their lie? And how many other people like David Irving and other historians who have proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that the whole Holocaust myth is made up to get Jewish sympathy and Jewish money? It's all about the money, just as Jesus Christ said. And he said the deception would be so great at the end of the age that even his elect would be deceived, if it were possible. Praise Yahweh, it's not possible. Praise Yahweh, he's given me through his spirit the ability to see through the lies that these Zionist dogs print and put out through their whores in government, their whores in the Pentagon, their whores in the media, their whores in Hollywood. Yes, they are. Every single one of them is a stinking prostitute for a pocket full of blood money, a pocket full of shekels. They perpetuate the lie. Shame on us for believing that lie. How much more innocent blood has to be shed, Father Yahweh? How much more? And I thank my sister up there in Canada for sending that, because we need to have our consciences pricked. We've had it too good for too long. As one of my inner circle comrades said to me here recently, I've lived to a good ripe age. What difference does it make? Why are we sitting around allowing these dogs to control everything? Why would anybody fear death and allow this kind of hideous behavior to continue? That's a good question. Why? Why do we sit and allow this to go on? The scripture talks about salvation in the modern day church world wants you to think that it's the feeling, the good feeling you get when you go down and pray the sinner's prayer. You've been doused with the Holy Spirit, and therefore you are now saved. Really? Well, that's kind of funny, because the Greek language doesn't say that at all. The Greek language says that truth shall set you free and save you. It means from here and now. Dangers on the planet here and now. It has nothing to do with the spiritual hereafter. Funny how that works, isn't it? And yet your liars down at your local churches tell the same story and perpetuate the same lie. I grew up in those churches. I know exactly the kind of sermons that are preached. I know exactly what kind of hypocrites they all are. I wouldn't step foot in a modern-day Christian church if you put a gun to my head. They are full of lies and deceptions. And you hypocrites that go to them, you're no closer to Messiah than the dog walking across the street. You think you are, because that's the job of the preacher or the priest. His job is to make you think it. He's the Baal priest of old, to make you think you're walking with the Father, when in fact you are his greatest enemy. You're the lukewarm piece of dog meat that he thinks is only good for vomiting out because it's petrified and putrefied. How much longer, people? How many more innocent lives need to be cut down before you'll get off your asses? Before you'll unite and get over your petty little differences and the things you love to argue about? I'm sick and tired of it, to be honest with you. The enemy is at the gates, and you're still bickering about such absolute nonsense, inconsequential items. What's the matter with you? You don't see the danger? Again, if you don't see it now, I really doubt that you're going to be around much longer. Your ignorance, your stiff-necked attitude, your complete brainwashing by the Jews has already marked you for destruction. And remember, folks, he said, I will cleanse my house first. That doesn't mean he has forgotten about you Jews and what you've done. Oh, no, 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 no. We've got a scorecard. We know what you've been up to. And he's going to punish our people first. That's true. That's true. But once he's done with us, then we have the Gideon-type people left. We have the people that don't care about money and materialism. We care about doing what's right. And we care about stopping you. Just as the German army was determined to stop you. And then we the blinded ones, we allowed the Jews who had infiltrated our governments to use our resources and even our own sons and daughters to destroy our kinsmen who were out to stop you. We now know what happened. Many are waking up to that absolutely shameful event in history. You can put all the History Channel garbage you want up there. You can put up all the stuff on YouTube you want. It doesn't change the facts at all. You brought about the first two world wars to destroy our kind and to get power and money. I hope you enjoyed it, because you're going to have recompense very soon. I pray daily that Father allows me to see it here in the flesh. I want to see the enemies of Christ and the enemies of my people put to the sword. I really do. But if I don't, doesn't matter. Because I know what's about to take place. A glorious time when the remnant of my people come out of their slumber and they realize what they have done to each other. What we have allowed the Jew to instigate amongst our people. And in shame, we will repent of what we've done to each other for a few shekels from the hook-nosed kike Jew throwing their shekels in the street, and we fight each other like dogs for a few shekels from the devil's children. When we are the inheritors of this earth, he put us here. And what have we done? We've allowed these misfits, these aberrations of nature, to cause us to murder our own kind by the tens of millions for a stinking Jew. Revenge is a sweet thing. And whether I'm here to see it or not makes no difference whatsoever. I'll either witness it here on earth in a human body, or I will witness it from the halls of heaven. But the day of the Jew is over. Your day to pay for all the innocent blood that you have shed, as Christ said from Zechariah all the way up and through. Abel to Zechariah, all of the innocent blood lies at your feet. Those are the words of Christ, people, or don't you believe them? The Messiah tried to tell you, but you're allowing these pusillanimous dogs called preachers that come out of cemeteries. They call them seminaries, but they might as well be a cemetery full of dead men's bones, preaching this syrupy sweet gospel that Christ himself wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. Christ beat them out of the temple. Christ called them exactly what they are, the sons and daughters of Satan himself. And for that, they executed him in a horrific, horrific manner. And Christ allowed that to happen for you and me, folks, that we might be saved. Not just saved spiritually, because the soter in the Greek language means saving from physical harm. He sacrificed himself so that you and I would eventually wake up to the Jew and what he's up to. The Antichrists personified, and the traitors of our own race, that for a few shekels of silver will turn on their own people. May they be cursed to hell. If you can't see what's going on now, you are blinder than a bat. I feel sorry for my European kinsmen and what the Jew has done to you. But he's also done the same thing to us over here. But the only thing that separates us, brothers and sisters, is that we, the remnant of Israel that came across the ocean and stayed over here, the renegades that we are, we would not allow the Jew to disarm us. To their chagrin, we are still armed. We represent a vast and mighty army. That's why they don't sleep well at night, because the masquerade is about to end. All of their lies and deceptions are being shredded apart, and the day of the knife is not far away. Your lies and deceptions through your Hollywood-made movies and your documentaries, all with Jewish tainted blood and lies and misfit stories, made-up stories, all of it is becoming exposed. As soon as people realize who you people really are, the blinders come off. And you start looking at history as it really is instead of the Jewish version. And once that happens and a person awakens, they can't go back. That's why Jews right now are buying property in far-off lands in record numbers. They think they're going to escape. They're going to rape and pillage the white nations until the bitter end, and then they're going to run off to South America or some remote part of Australia or New Zealand and hide out there while the riffraff kill each other off. That's what they think. Of course, they're demented, demonic people, but that's what they think. Christ says that there is a time coming when they'll ask the rocks to cover them up, to protect them from us. There will be no place for you to hide, sons of Satan. I pray for that day sooner than later. There's been enough innocent blood shed to fill rivers of blood of the innocent men, women, and children you communist pig dogs have killed and murdered and butchered, because you are truly the sons and daughters of Satan himself. Not one shred of decency in your bodies. Every molecule of you is foreign to everything of Yahweh. Just as your father, Satan, was against everything of Yahweh, and so are you. Praise be to Yahweh, he's allowed for the truth to come out. Raise up that Ezekiel 37 army, Father Yahweh. The Gideon men that still walk this earth. Put in their hearts righteous indignation, the same righteous indignation that you showed to the damn peddlers in the temple that day. The same righteous indignation that Peter showed in the garden when he pulled his sword out and cut the man's ear off. He was aiming for his throat, and he missed. The same righteous indignation that the warriors of Yahweh have always had against the heathen, worshippers of Lucifer that walk this earth and destroy innocent lives so that they can make money. And they can possess people, not for good, but for evil. Christ himself said it, that the Jew was responsible for all of the innocent blood shed. The term was all. It's in your Bibles, you damnable Judeo-Christians. Read it and stop using that term, because there is nothing that a true believer shares in common with Judaism. Judaism is from the pits of hell. Talmudism is what it should be called. I got a letter from my buddy who's of Greek heritage, and I like it because he understands the Greek language very well. But he sent me this little note, and let me share it with you. Let me check the time here. I think I got time. He says a brief summary of the occurrence of, quote, sorcery or sorcerers in the word. Magicians are noted for their sleight of hand and their illusions, are they not? Remember that Nakash in the Hebrew is the same thing. It's a sorcerer. And that's what was in the Garden of Eden. A Nakash, a sorcerer, not a snake. Please. Nakash meant a sorcerer or a magician. I will not bog you down with chapter and verse, parentheses, points and authorities. This will be topical and sort of like a recap. In Genesis, drugs were introduced to the earth's population by the fallen watchers. They had their initiated ones. The sons of the fallen watchers took females that they had been genetically created by their fathers for wives. Drugs were used to control people. These initiated ones had offspring, and they are with us today. Behind the scenes, for the most part, connected with secret societies and government intrigue globally. Remember these words, by the way, folks. In the Greek, we find a reference to magos. Our word magic comes from this source. The word is associated phonetically with Magog, an anti-Christian party. The magos were Oriental scientists, considered as wise men. They were of Babylonian origin. They were false prophets. Perhaps chemists would describe them as well. They practiced magic like today's doctors practice medicine. The English translation is sorcerer. The sorcerers used magical songs and enchantments. That tradition has been carried forward into the lyrics of today's pop music culture, loaded with references to sex, drugs, and their alleged mind-enhancing properties. These folks were harmlessly thought of as magicians who could provide magic remedies. Sexual stimulants? Anan, translated into English as a sorceress, was associated with acting covertly, using hidden arts, a soothsayer, that is, a soothing wordsayer, associated with mysteries. Magia is another Greek word for magic, translated into English as sorceries, the practice of magic arts. Sorceries in English is also associated with the use of drugs or the administration of drugs or poisons. Sorcerers are poisoners and drug dealers. This particular word comes from the Greek pharmakia, meaning medication or pharmacy or witchcraft. This is the word in Revelation 18, verse 23, whereby all nations are deceived. The word is associated with deception and seduction. Pharmakous is another Greek word, translated into English as sorcery, that pertains to drugs and spell-giving potions or mind control. It refers to a druggist or a pharmacist or a poisoner. A magician. The word tells us that because of our misbehavior as his servant people and for having ignored his precepts, that we will be turned over to strong delusion, not a singular delusion, but rather strong delusion for hundreds of years. All of these poisons, soothing words, deceptions and seductions, fraudulent money schemes, political lies, wars, etc. ad nauseam, are but the facets of many illusions that we are seduced and deluded by daily. Only the very elect are not deceived. The masses are the asses. The initiates of the fallen watchers were well schooled in their secret societies as to how to control the unwashed masses and how best to exploit them. The real witches and sorcerers wear expensive suits and live in palatial estates. They do not wear black pointed hats, nor ride on brooms, nor live in dark caverns. More of the illusion. The Oriental builds dynasties, not ghettos. They plan ahead for thousands of years in advance, not physical quarters like the Occidental. Again, email sent to me by a Greek fellow I know. It's time to wake up, people. It really is. The scripture makes it very plain that our Messiah told us that we were to be truth seekers above all things. Truth seekers. Lies and deceptions will not do you any good, ladies and gentlemen. So if you've got something that's out there that you just have a hard spot with, you need to go to your prayer closet and talk to the Father. He said that in all things to seek the truth, whether it's popular, whether the people like hearing it or not. Our job as watchmen on the wall is to present to you what is revealed to us by our Father. That is our job. Whether you accept it well or whether you like it has got nothing to do with it. In the vernacular, it might be, I don't give a damn whether you like it or not. I will stand in front of Father Yahweh one day and I will have to give an accounting of my life. Do you think for 1 second, I care whether you like what I say or not? In that day when I stand in front of Father, do you think that even the remotest part of my mental faculties will care whether you liked what I had to say? Or do you think I'll be much more concerned with what the man in the throne in front of me thinks and has to say about my actions and my words? You need to be thinking about that, folks. I know the Jewish perception of the world through their media, the movies, the lies over the electronic toilet has you believe that it doesn't matter, that you're just going to turn into a pile of dust, so just have a big free-for-all here and now. But within you, especially you Caucasian Israelites, within you is a hole that Yahweh put there. Spiritually speaking, there is a hole within your psyche or your soul, and only the truth can fill that hole. Only the truth. So you can live the Jewish lie that it doesn't matter what happens, because you know the Jews don't believe in a hereafter. Well, it's good reason, because there is no hereafter for them. They are marked for destruction already, as Christ said in the New Testament. Their fate is already sealed. They are the workers of iniquity. They do the works of their father Satan. They have no choice but to follow the DNA pattern within their molecules. They are Satan's children. That's what they're here for. But you, my dear brother or sister, you weren't created that way. You were created with a soul that yearns for the truth and to be right with the Father, because your soul knows there is a hereafter for us. And if your soul doesn't cry out for the truth, no matter what that truth is, then you don't deserve him and you will not be with him in the end. It's as plain as that, people. Nowhere in Scripture does he ever compromise with the liars. Nowhere in Scripture does Christ ever say, I'll soften up the message because it might be a little harsh for you. I'll soften up the truth because the truth might be just a little too much for you to bear. Nowhere in Scripture does it say that. For good reason. Christ doesn't compromise with anybody. The truth is the truth. And your job, my job, and everybody that says they love Father Yahweh, it's our job to seek the truth at all times and in all topics, wherever they may be found. We come through this time by being truth seekers in everything. whether people like hearing it or not. Yahweh has blessed me to be on internet radio for 16 years. I gotta tell you, I don't believe he blessed me to be on here for 16 years because I cared about what you think, or I cared whether the truth was too hard for you to swallow. If you're not a truth seeker, then depart from me. I don't want you anywhere near me. I don't want your money. I don't want your attention. I don't want you in my foxhole when the war starts. Actually, it's already started. I don't want you anywhere around me. I'll take the small band of four or five believers, such as the men I know here, who love the truth, who love each other as brothers in arms and DNA brothers, to the point where we don't care how many are out there. We don't care what kind of weapons they claim to possess. We don't care, because the scripture says that we are to fight evil with all of our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, meaning with everything we've got. You fight evil because it's the right thing to do. You don't fight evil because you think you're going to win money. You don't fight evil because you think you're going to inherit a large plot of ground somewhere. You fight evil because it's the right thing to do. That's why the scripture says in the words of Christ, put the kingdom of Yahweh first, and then the rest will be added unto you. Doing the right thing for the right reasons first. Then it's up to the Father to bless you. That's what it means by, and then these things will be added unto you. They're finding out the Russian airplane was brought down by supposedly ISIS, which we all know that's an American and Israeli intelligence agency. But isn't it funny? Hold on just a minute. Had to sneeze. Isn't it ironic that the United States and its ally were having drills in that area that day? I'm sure that's just a coincidence, isn't it? What's happening in France, of course, we do know that the Zionist dog Netanyahu and his fellow dogs made a statement over a year ago because France was not supporting what the Jews wanted to do with the Palestinians, that they would be punished for that. Well, apparently the Jews came through with what they promised, didn't they? One thing about the Jews, when they promise to do you harm, they will. They threatened the Tsar and Tsarina of Russia because the Tsar actually had the audacity to hang 19 Jewish subversive and spies. 19 over a 10-year period. That averages out to just 2 a year. He had the audacity to execute 2 Jews a year for 10 years who were committing treason by espionage against the Russian people. You stinking czar! You executed 2 Jews a year? Well, see, to a Jew, that equates to just something so terrible that the whole Russian people were subjected to the Bolshevik Revolution. How many tens of millions of white Christian men, women, and children were literally butchered by these Bolshevik Jew communists for the audacity of the Tsar to hang 19 of their spies? Do you think it's just coincidental that the greatest spies in American history are all Jews? How about that? The spies who did the most damage to us in the United States were all Jews. Let's see, the Jews control the Federal Reserve. The Jews sit at the top of our intelligence agencies. We've got Jews in the Pentagon. We've got Jews dominating Hollywood. we got most of the major media controlled by Jews and Jewish money. Is a pattern forming here? Let's see. You know, I found out recently that the Germans had a plan to ship the Jews to Madagascar. Now, for you people with a public school education, you're going to have to dig out an atlas or even one of those globes that they put out there. And you're going to have to look down off the coast of South Africa there. And there's a big island. It's called Madagascar. And it was the Germans' idea that that would become the Jewish homeland because it's much, much larger than where Itzalai is in Palestine. The Zionists wouldn't take that. No. They want to be in the center, just like all Jews, arrogant bastards that they are. They want to be in the center of things because, after all, the Jews are meant to be the masters of this world. That's their own words, people. All the other races are here to serve the Jews. And that's why they wanted Palestine, because geographically it sits in the middle. They don't want to be clear down in Madagascar, even though it's a very large island with lots of resources. So the German solution was to take the hideous Jew and all of their machinations that they do and send them down there and put them on that damn island. Of course, the Jews know that, but they're not going to let you know that. They put out the stories that the Germans wanted to control the whole world and they wanted to murder every Jew simply because he's a Jew. And yet Hitler had Jewish bankers that funded the National Socialist Party. He had Jews in his officers' ranks within his military. So explain that one to me, folks. Okay, he was hell-bent to exterminate all Jews, but he had Jews in some of his closest circles. Of course, he should have known better than to do that, but he didn't. It just goes to show how they fabricate things. They lie. They do just like their father, Satan, who's the father of what? Lies! Now, if you Judeo-Christians don't like that, well, then you need to burn your Bibles and stop pretending to be believers, because those are the words of Christ himself. We're hearing a lot of stuff today. There is a lot of stuff going on. The media is just bombarding you with all this garbage. So what is the true believer of Yahweh supposed to do? We do exactly the same thing every single day of our lives. We don't pay attention to what the antichrists are doing, other than for intel purposes. We look to our Father for his Holy Spirit and guidance. We live a righteous life according to his laws to the best of our ability. We support our brothers and sisters who also live according to his law. And we prepare for the coming struggle, the coming war of the children of light versus the children of darkness. We're not so silly as to think that there's a good ending to this if we just succumb to the Jew who wants to disarm us. We know better. I wish my brothers and sisters in Australia, New Zealand, and all over Europe would waken to that fact. Do not allow the Jew to disarm you, or your fate will be the same as our cousins in Russia and in other lands, by the way, too. You know, the Boers, and Boer is just Afrikaner for farmer. In South Africa, the Boers discovered diamonds and gold. Now, the Boers went down there and turned a barren portion of South Africa into a luscious, farming, beautiful area. They brought the methods of farming and irrigation, and they turned it into a paradise. Nobody on the planet wanted to go there, but the Boers, the German-Dutch farmers, took it upon themselves to go down there and establish an absolutely beautiful land. But what do you think happened as soon as the word got out that gold and diamonds were down there? And because the Boers wouldn't let De Beer and another Jew come in and steal it all, the Jews back in England, who control the media there too, and the charlatans and quacks within the parliament and at the castle, they convinced them that we need to send the British soldiers down there to kill the Boers, because the Boers are uprising, and them nasty Boers have murdered innocent men, women, and children. It's all a lie, but then again, the Jew is what? What does it say in the New Testament? Oh, that's right. It's the language of their father. So when they tell a lie, they speak of their own. Liars, that's what Yiddish means, by the way. Yiddish means language of deceivers. Yid is a deceiver. So, yeah, they're just like their father. They're deceivers. And so the Jews convinced the Parliament and the people of England to go down there and murder their cousins so the Jews could come in and pick up the gold and the diamonds. You see, they didn't want any part of South Africa when it was a wasteland, and the farmers went down there and turned it into a paradise. Do you see how this thing works? That's why we're in the Middle East, because the Jews want the resources. And they want the Americans to bleed the ground red to allow them to take over, because they consider the whole Middle East to be Greater Israel and their kingdom. And they want to kick the damn Arabs out because they're sitting in where the Jews are supposed to own. And we're allowing that. Isn't it bad enough we murdered our own cousins in two major wars by the tens of millions? Isn't it bad enough we allowed the Jews to get us to do that to our own kind? Isn't it time we stop? Isn't it time we stop listening to these lying talking heads over the boob tube? Start putting our brains back into functioning form? I want to let you know that John Friend of the Realist Report will be our guest this coming Wednesday night. I hope you can make it there. There is a constant barrage of mail coming into me wanting us pastors and leaders of this message to come together, to put our differences aside and come together as a uniting force for our people. I'm glad to note that for the first time in history, I've had 100% feedback from everybody contacting me, from listeners, from other pastors, other leaders, other teachers. This is the first time ever that every single phone call, email, text, whatever, was in favor of that. Could it be that this is the time that Yahweh said that he would call forth his people from the four corners of the earth? The four corners of the earth. There's talk about having a conference, picking a location somewhere in the southeastern part of the United States, a conference to be attended by us. We're going to look into that. We hope that you would include that in your prayers, that Father's Spirit lead us in that direction, if it be His will. And I hope, my brothers and sisters, as we run out of time here, realize that Yahweh expects us to be activists. He expects us to be doers. Put the word, the one that you study, the laws and precepts of our Heavenly Father, but not only that, but the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because if you walk with Yahweh, you should have the Holy Spirit as a counselor. It's not just the material you study. It comes from within, the voice from within that comes from the seat of heaven itself. Activism, folks. Every single one of you can do something for our people and for His kingdom. There's none of you out there that can't do something. And for the men, the soldiers, the warriors, that day that the trumpet sounds is not very far away, when the Ezekiel 37 army will be called into action. Your job as soldiers of the cross is to prepare every day your mind, your body, your soul, to be found worthy of His army and prepare for the day when the wicked will taste our swords, when the wicked will be cut down like the dogs that they are, to be food for the fowls of the air, because that's all they're fit for, to be eaten by the carrion. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for our time together. We thank You for this opportunity to share Your words. We pray for a blessing upon all of your sons and daughters. Take away any of the fears and the anxiety they may feel. Let them know by your Holy Spirit that we are on the winning side. All we have to do is be overcomers and persevere to the end. We pray for your coming soon, that you would take the throne, Father, and lead us from that throne. And in the meantime, raise up your leaders, your teachers, your pastors, your elders, that they may be shining examples for our people, that they may hold up a standard that they could look to and be attracted to as we await your coming. Forgive us our sins, Father. Guide us in everything that we say and do, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.